So today is the first week of Advent. It's the beginning of the new year, so Happy New Year, everyone. And each of the four Sundays of Advent have a different theme. So this first week's theme is the second coming of Jesus Christ. You might think it's kind of strange. We're at the beginning and we're talking about the very end. But it kind of makes sense if you think about it. If you're going to go on a vacation, you start with the end destination in mind. If you're going to go to college, you start with the end, the degree you want to have in mind, and 6.5 years later, and change your mind 9 times, you get a degree, right? When you're going to clean your house or do something around, you say, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. Here are the steps that I have to take to make that happen. So knowing the end is very important because it says here are the actions and here are some of the hurdles and obstacles you may have to overcome in order to fulfill it. We see this in today's first reading. We have from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is preparing the Israelites for the end of the world, at least from their perspective. Because we're in the 6th century BC, we are in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is the center of the universe for the Jewish people. This is where the temple was, and the presence of God dwelt in the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple. Now, the bad news is the Israelites have not been very faithful to God. So God says, if you don't want me in your life, I'm out of here. And basically what happens then is the Babylonians see this opportunity. So King Nebuchadnezzar II comes along in 587 BC, sieges Jerusalem, smashes the temple, and carries a whole bunch of people off to Babylon, modern-day Iraq, when this is known as the Babylonian captivity. Now, the Israelites could have fallen into despair and said, woe is us. Oh my gosh, this is horrible. Sure, they did a little bit. But then they all started thinking, so wait a second. We are God's children. We are called to be in relationship with him. So this Babylonian exile, when we look at it in the larger portion of salvation history, is kind of a very important timeout. Yes, it was 70 years, but a timeout all the same. And Jeremiah gives the Israelites something to think about during their time out. He says, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and Judah. In those days, at that time, I will raise up for David a just shoot. He shall do what is right and just in the land. So the Israelites are reminded of their end. You are children of God. You are called to be in relationship with him. And a Messiah is going to come to bring these prodigal sons and daughters back into right relationship with God. Moving to our gospel, we see the Messiah, Jesus Christ, has come into the world in fulfillment of this prophecy. And today he's talking about the end of all ends, which is the second coming, the end of time. Now I'm going to let you in on a little theological pet peeve of mine. A lot of people spend a lot of time focusing on some words of today's gospel. It says, you will see signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. But we have to kind of temper that with like Matthew 25:13. It says, you do not know the day nor the hour. I say this because a lot of times people will spend lots of time researching into weeping statues and things moving in the sky and some obscure prophet in some part of the world that nobody's ever heard about that tells us exactly the same thing that's in the Bible. And I think, you know, it's fun if you don't have Netflix, I guess, but like, you know, why are you wasting a lot of this time? I had one of my cousins come up to me once and say, if you can give me the exact day of Jesus's birth, I can give you the exact day he will come back. He's this engineer type and he had this formula that's supposed to work. I didn't think of it at the time, but I thought, you know what? We can probably tell you within a few years when Jesus Christ was born. So then wouldn't your magic formula tell us within a few years when he will come back? So next time I see him, I'll ask him that question. Rather, I think we should focus more time on what it says 3 sentences later. When the signs begin to happen, stand erect, raise your hearts, because redemption is at hand. Redemption is at hand. Redemption is the forgiveness of sins by the merits of Jesus Christ's death upon the cross. The same way God says to the Babylonians, the Israelites in Babylon, when they come back to him and say, we're sorry, God, he says, fine, I will now free you from your captivity. Jesus Christ does the same thing for us. When we come to him and say, we've been sinful, we've strayed, he says, fine, come back. Come back into right relationship with us. This reality, our redemption, starts by Mary conceiving through the Holy Spirit. Our redemption will continue 3.5 weeks from now when we celebrate Christmas, Jesus Christ being born into the world. And then 19 weeks and 5 days from that, we will have Good Friday, start the Easter season when we say, yes, Christ has died, Christ has risen. So it makes sense to start with the end in mind, because it'll help us along our path, saying here are the steps we need to take to get to our end, and remind us that if there are obstacles along the way, that we can overcome them. Now, this end is not a future event. We should live it every day of our lives. St. Jerome, my patron saint, is depicted in art usually in two different ways. He's depicted either as a hermit in a cave, and he's pounding his chest with a stone. Penance, right? The other way he's depicted, he's got a cardinal's hat. He was never a cardinal. He was a secretary of one of the popes, but artists sometimes get it wrong. And he's got a cardinal's hat. And on his desk, there's a skull. And that skull is a practice called memento mori, which means remember you must die. Now, memento mori is not a morbid practice. It's actually a joyful one. Because in life, we keep thinking, you know what? One day, I'm going to be with God. This is a joyful thing. Jesus Christ came into the world to allow us to be back in perfect, right relationship with God. This reality should enlighten every aspect of our lives. Later in the gospel, Jesus says, beware that your hearts do not grow drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. If we forget our end, we can get distracted. If we forget who we are, we can start doing things we shouldn't be doing. So if we stay focused on the end, then every day we think, ah, yes, this is what we need to do. Now, this is not saying we can't enjoy the goods of this world. God made everything. He said it is good. So absolutely, we can enjoy this life while we're here, and we should enjoy this life while we're here. But while we're here, we also have to do what we're called to do, is live out our faith. To have that faith enliven our hearts, and then to proclaim it to the world. I was thinking of people who kind of stare at the sky waiting for the end to come. I'm just like a cartoon I saw once. It showed Jesus knocking on someone's door, and it said, Jesus is coming, look busy, right? So we start with the beginning, with the end at the beginning. We start by saying Jesus Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. This starts our new calendar, and it'll end it in a year from now when we have Christ the King. So every day we live out this faith, saying, God, you've given me this day. What can I do with it? What can I do right here and right now for your praise and glory and to serve my neighbor? Always remembering the end game, full union with God in heaven.